We'll go ahead and call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order on August 13, 2019 at 7:07. Please rise up for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out this evening. I think is on the agenda, so if there's any other public comment that anybody wants to make other than what's already on the agenda, 2 minutes of fame or waiting you at the seat. Doesn't look like we have any, so we'll go ahead and move on to agenda review. Anything to add, delete?
Just mayor and council, two things I got which can serve as one item on the consent agenda, and that would be approving temporary on sale liquor licenses for the Hamburg Lions Club for September 14th and October 12th. And them are for, I believe, weddings.
Yeah.
That the Lions will be serving.
Anybody else have anything else to add or change or delete? If not, I look for a motion to adopt as amended. Moving seconded to adopt the agenda as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. I'll look for it to sign a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moving seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Nick, you're up in the hot seat.
All right.
Even.
Remember, we've been making some steady progress, so we lucky enough to get the surveyor out and get something drawn up. Brought me one for y'all so you can see him. And I'm still not sure about the house. It's like some dimensions I think we could believe in. I'm not sure if we should orient that house kind of the way it sits or turn it the other way. We're going to have to do some, you know, variance, I think, almost no matter what. It just really depends on, I think, where we'll fit the best in the neighborhood and what would be the most saleable and be most attractive to somebody in town is kind of what I'm after. So I'm still thinking about that. I think we're a little bit of ways away from that. So I'll talk about that, I think, when we get a little closer. I'm still looking at plans all the time to figure out what's the right thing to do.
Okay. So I think kind of the first step we're looking to do here is kind of subdivide that lot. So basically, on the survey here that council has, you'll see basically, and if you look here, you can see on the screen that they're basically one property split by the right-of-way. So kind of the first thing I want to bring up, Nick, is I wanted to get some verification, our planner. So as you'll see on the survey, too, how he wants to split this lot here.
Basically, there's a garage in here, so it's hard to see. The yellow boxes are all, they're not accurate. They're all
showing up. We use the survey for
accuracy. Yeah, yeah.
So basically, what he wants to do is subdivide this lot, take this parcel, combine it here, and then this would be the lot right here. Then you'd be looking to put the
residential home on. So basically what we want to do for now is kind of do a minor subdivision of that property, which he has the survey, so I think we can move forward with that now. I did get some guidelines from our city planner, and basically what he had said is that no public hearing is required for a minor subdivision, but a courtesy notice to adjoining property owners may be provided, you know, kind of in lieu of having to go through the public hearing process or what. You know, the big thing is Nick wants to get this subdivided so he can get these two pieces combined so he can sell that house at 430 Louisa Street. So kind of the first step, Nick, would be that land use application, is just fill that out, get that to me, and then what we would look at is the next meeting is approving this subdivision. and then that'll give me time to send out notices and for our planner to, you know, I apologize that it can't just do it tonight, or, you know, there's all hoops we always have to jump through to make sure we stay kosher. So, but for sure, next meeting, I talked to our planner. He said he should be able to have everything put together so that way we can subdivide that lot and get that taken care of and approved at the next meeting.
One question the surveyor had was about this imaginary alley. I think it said was invaded
so
previously.
It, back here, right here,
sir. Yeah, that comes into question. But for sure, you know, back in the day, whoever, I don't get it, but already built a pad on that property. There's a pad that he had a greenhouse in at one point, I think. It's all gone now, but there's a cement pad that is on that. So,
this isn't already vacated, so I did talk to our planner about that. Because we also kind of talked about even maybe, you know, we vacated this and we split it and give it to the property owners. But the concern I got is, one, if you want to use this garage here yet, you know, this property owner, you're going to need alley access for one.
Yeah.
And two, I think you've talked, if you do the house, you might have, you know, the garage coming off the alley access, correct?
I'm not sure about that one. That was my original thought, and that's what this contemplates. But if we orient the house more the other way, I'm really debating whether I want to try to build a family home, or, you know, our last little talk was maybe more like a starter or ender kind of home, that somebody in town that wants to sell their big house and move into something smaller. Because it's a smallish lot anyway. So it might be just as prudent to stick, you know, like, I mean, it's what almost everybody builds these days anyway, and it sounds like this, you know, it's a garage facing the street.
Just
have a little rambler behind it. That's that, you know, maybe two bedrooms.
So we're talking to the planner, you know, because we've got to talk about it, possibly changes there. What we talked about was, you know, setbacks, right? You know, that's the concerns. So we probably have to look at variances. And kind of what you proposed to us, if we say something along those guidelines, I mean, the front will be all right, because our ordinance says basically it can't be less than 15 or, you know, 50. You look at a lot of these homes, they're less than 15.
Yeah.
So we can justify, you know, granting variances to, you know, the neighborhood.
Yes.
And he said basically, you know, if we stay 10 feet off the sides, we may only have to be looking at it at variance. Because the back variance is 35 feet.
So they got 10 feet off the sides?
Yep. And then the back is 35. You know, the front is 30 or can match the existing neighborhood.
Yep.
You know, for the front setback, so.
Okay. So it'd be 10 on the alley side, too, so that closest there he goes.
Okay.
Well, that actually helps for my purposes. So, okay. So I think we're on the same page.
Okay. You know, and so back to, you know, this alley. I have to do some research, see if that was ever vacated or not. Or, and I always hate having to go back. So you never know what you're gonna find, but. Basically, even if
it's not anywhere on my,
okay, even if we can vacate that, mm-hmm. And then basically what our planner says, we can divide it in half and then split that property, and it just takes 4/5 vote from council to approve that, the vacation of that area.
Okay. Yeah, honestly, to me, doesn't make a difference really one way or the other, whether it is or isn't. He just asked because the pad is clearly sitting on that alleyway.
Okay.
And I said there was some discussion about it. I don't know. He suggested I look at my documents, which I did.
I think, and from what I've heard in the past, it's there because are there electric lines that run through there?
There's an easement. Yeah, I mean, there'd always be an easement on it. Yeah. I think they'd have to get in
there. There's a utility.
Yeah. But, yeah.
all kinds of people have utilities across the back of their properties without alleys.
Okay. So it sounds like the next steps, you have paperwork you need to get to Jeremy.
Yep.
And then we can go ahead and approve that at the next meeting. And then hopefully maybe you have an idea too how you're going to situate
yeah,
the house.
Yeah, I was planning by next month to have a pretty firm plan, so I'll help for that. So
yeah. Just and then we can set that up a public hearing for the variances on that too.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Nick.
Have a great night.
Right, we'll move on then to old city business. First up is the animal ordinance number 162 to allow chickens. I know Jeremy was tasked, or staff was tasked, to do a lot of research between the last meeting and this meeting.
I did look at mainly cities in Carver County, is what we talked about. Tapped into our city attorney also for suggestions. So basically, what conclusion kind of came to is looking at other ordinances, and with talking to the attorney, we couldn't find anybody that allows them within a dwelling or an attached accessory structure such as a garage. Even our attorney says thinks keeping chickens in a garage could be a bad idea. He reviewed the ordinance. He had said basically had come out and said my recommendation is to not allow any variances from the requirements of the ordinance. So basically from our attorney, he thought it was, you know, what we came up with was sufficient and kind of that's the way we should go with the ordinance. You know, huh?
Why?
Because that's what a lot of the other surrounding areas are. And when we do an ordinance, that's what we try to maintain.
And I think one of the other things that has really, I think, clarified is it free in the garage or in a coop in a garage? Because I don't know if that's been...
Every ordinance I've looked at basically says coop and run must be outside. And then they state... A lot of cities are way more, I looked, are way more restrictive than us because... What we have in there is we just have to be a certain area off the property lines. Where a lot of the other cities had, they had to be 35 or 50 feet even away from their neighbor's structure. So you couldn't put it on the side of your house if your neighbor was within 30 feet of where you wanted to place it. I mean, we looked at a lot of things, and I looked at a lot of other cities' ordinances. I mean, even I looked at St. Paul's, and they required outside.
Well, and part of the reason too is like we discussed last time, in order for us to inspect that, and I know you're willing to go ahead and do it, the attorney, vice attorney, we would have to get a warrant to be able to go into the property.
Is that any different than cats?
I don't know about that.
I mean, it's the same process. If I had 100 cats, you would have to get a warrant if I didn't allow you in. Then you're ruling on fear that somebody's going to have 100 chickens.
I don't think it's so much about the number of chickens that we're worried about necessarily. I think it's about the ability to have access when our inspectors need to have access to it. If for in your 100 cat situation, we would actually call in animal control and they would take over the process. We really wouldn't have anything to deal with that. But what we want to make sure is that if we need to inspect the coop or we need to inspect the chickens themselves, it's easier for us to be able to do that without having to go through the extra legal step and costs associated with that to go onto the property and check them out.
I don't know, you guys have all heard my points several times, and I think the only thing I can add is to just further it seems as if there restrictions create large undue expenses for me in order to have chickens. And I would like the ability for my family to have chickens in a safe, appropriate manner, and everything that you guys have. Because I'll just be honest, like, my chickens are going to die. I'm not going to be able to buy them a multi-thousand-dollar insulated structure or have electricity or anything. I'm likely not even going to be able to have chickens past whenever they die. They won't survive the winter, etc. And I'm not the poorest person in Hamburg. And it's just... these are backyard chickens, not farm chickens. And you guys will do whatever you want to do, but I want you to know what you're taking away from my family if that's what you choose.
I mean, I hope that during this conversation, it's not the council versus you in this regard.
I'll tell you that everybody I've talked to since, I said I should have never said anything because nobody in Hamburg would care. I came here to do it right. Nobody in Hamburg would have ever cared if I would have just had my chickens and never said a damn word. Nobody would have cared. And it's the truth. I should have just never said anything. But I understand the need for policy. I understand that whatever. And it isn't council versus New York or whatnot. But what is legal representation no more raising chickens? Does he have a backyard coop? I don't think, I can understand the legal perspective of gaining access. I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, that comes down to somebody who's not willing to follow the rules. When you sign up for the license, when you sign up for the permit to have the chickens, you can add wording or add additional wording about that being a requirement. Perhaps it's within a certain number of days. You have to, you're willing to respond to a letter within a certain, you know, or whatever. And if they don't, yes, that is a legal act, and I understand. Nobody wants to do that. You don't want to take that next step. And I don't want the city to have to take that next step because I know what that means. It means extra tax dollars. It means extra income for me on my property tax. But I don't want that. But that's only if somebody doesn't follow the rules. Lawyers seem to have an opinion on it's a bad idea to not have chickens in the garage. Why? Just because other cities don't have it? I would be in St. Paul, I would be in Green Isle, I would be in Norwood, I would be in every other city fighting the same fight. Why? And no one has an answer for that, except for potentially inspection, which again, that's ruling on here. So,
well, part of the ordinance would call for an inspection anyway.
Yeah.
And so that's really not living on fear. It's actually the ability for us to be able to inspect these things when they get first put up and then inspect them on an annual basis in a timely manner. That's not living on fear. So we would have to go through that added expense of going to have that inspection done.
But you would have to do that even if it was outside. You can't just come on my property if that's what
it is. Matt, help me. Do we have to get a, what's the warrant called again?
Administrative search warrant.
Yeah, I think as far as setting foot on the property, if you were trying to enforce or inspect, if it's not visible, then yes. I think if you were able to inspect from the street, if it was open, as I think prescribed by the statute currently, the ordinance currently, then you wouldn't be able to stand, obviously.
But you could not see my backyard from the street, and that's honestly got true. So if I had 100 chickens inside my in my backyard, you would never know. I really wouldn't, but you get what I'm saying. Your inspection problem is the same.
For your particular yard, but not
for
not,
a lot.
But not for everybody's.
Not for everybody, but for a lot more than my property.
Right.
You might be able to see a certain angle, but even the homes on my block, it goes out into the field. You can't even Wendell's yard, you can there's not even a street back there. You wouldn't be able to see anybody's backyard on my street within my sight.
But one thing I want to point out is, I mean, I think we, council and staff, has kind of tried to do due diligence to even allow them. Because I had talked to the attorney, and there are other cities that said no.
No chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, other cities being cool. This is Hamburg, Minnesota, where a pig was, I said this.
Just because we're Hamburg doesn't mean, okay, well, it's Hamburg, go ahead, speed through Hamburg, we don't care.
Well, of course not, but Justin, who lives across the street, has an entire, he lives, our driveways could meet. He lives directly across the street from me, but because his property goes bigger out back, he has an entire barn. And I'm glad, it's awesome. But directly across the street from me because of the way the current, so it isn't just about Hamburg, it's the current way things are set up. He has an entire farm in his backyard.
Yeah, but that's in the township.
I was going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's the only thing that Justin has.
The house is in the city limits.
The rest is all in the.
The rest of the farm's in the township.
And I can see his barn from my house.
Yeah, but.
I can see his chicken coop from.
Right, but it's outside our jurisdiction.
There are probably about four, maybe five other properties that fit that same bill where the house itself is in town, the rest of the property is in township.
And if you're, I believe you, I mean, you're probably right. It isn't just Hamburg, like I said. If this would be no matter, if I was still living in St. Paul, I would be fighting this fight. If I was living anywhere, I would be fighting this fight. It just comes as a big shock because of Hamburg, a city built on agriculture. And.
But you can't run a city differently than another city. I can't, you know, the council can dictate things, but I still think you need to run Hamburg based on similar things in the area. I mean, I get your point. I do. But yet, I sit on the, you know, the other side of the fence, and I know that we need to, you know, we can't, just because we're Hamburg, you know, say, okay, no, you can have 100 chickens because it's Hamburg. Or whatever variances you want. I mean, and I understand the reasoning, because we need the reasoning, too.
Of course not. I definitely understand that. Like, you're not going to, oh, our streetways now have a, you know, 70-mile-an-hour speed zone limit or whatever, you know, just because we're Hamburg. No, I get that. But again, nobody has a real reason.
Well, the main reason is so it's out in the open, so neighbors can see and residents can see, and even for us to be able to see that, you know, there's not, like, if you let your dog out, we have ordinances too that say it has to be on a leash at all times. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, control, I guess, of animals. I mean, I don't know, when's this come up? In the last 3-4 years, this has become a big thing? Whereas before, pretty much every city ordinance said no farmed animals, only domesticated. You know, and it's new, and who knows, things may change down the line. But one thing I wanted to point out to council too, I did have another person come up last Friday and asked if we had a chicken ordinance. I said, well, we're in the works. So as word gets out, more and more people may do this. And I think bottom line, it's just control. Everything is kind of, I mean, you don't, nobody wants Big Brother breathing down their neck, but you need some control.
Well, and I think all the rest of the ordinance is reasonable. That's the control. That's the reason. I mean, you know, requiring a permit, requiring the inspection, requiring, you know, all those other things, that's Big Brother already. That's reasonable. Dictating.
Well, let me ask, would you, if we didn't have that control, would you be okay if our ordinances were so open-ended that somebody had 100 cats or 100 chickens?
I I mean, to be personally, if somebody in their house had a hundred and whatever, it wasn't affecting me, I don't really care.
But then the reason why you have that control is because it becomes a health concern a lot of the times.
I mean, that's up to them and their health. I'm not going to do anything. But for you, if it becomes a health risk to others, right, that's what I would be concerned about.
So well, even for them, I think we have to look out for, you know.
I'm a little libertarian in that sense. Live and let live. I believe people can make their own decisions for their own lives. But when it affects other people, I'm 100%. If his chickens or his cats or whatever were a noise issue, a health issue, a sight issue, an anything issue for any other person, yeah. We need to put some parameters. We gotta control that. I get it. But it's my garage. And
so kind of basically what our attorney said, it was, my recommendation is not to allow any variance from the requirements of the ordinance. I think keeping chickens in a garage is a bad idea. Having followed the subject in other cities, I think this ordinance is fair and reasonable. I am sure chicken advocates in cities that do not allow chickens would be very happy to abide by the terms of this ordinance. So that's his opinion. And basically why we get an attorney opinion is to get feedback and help aid in making decisions. You know, and we kind of want their legal opinion because they've probably, you know, I wish he would have went into more detail for you why it was a bad idea, but I'm sure he has his reasons as to why it's a bad idea from usually experiences. That I don't know. I can confer on that, but.
Why do you think your chickens are not pleased with that?
I think I've talked about chickens to every person I know at least 3 to 5 times a week since I came here the very first time. Everybody I talked to about how they lost chickens over the winter, or how the issues of me wanting to have the coop. I mean, our winters are brutal cold, and the black and white fact is I'm not going to be able to afford a coop that is going to be fancy insulation. The coop that I'm going to be able to afford is going to be, you know, $300 to $500, which, mind you, is already extremely expensive for me because I'm not going to be able to use the coop that my husband built. I'm going to have to go buy a coop so that I can look pretty for my neighbors, which I get, but it's going to be $300 to $500. I've already seen them. I've looked. I've gone to Fleet Farm. I've searched online, everything. They're compressed cardboard pieces of junk. There's no quality.
So the coop you got now, can you open it up and get it inside of it?
Yes.
So why couldn't you put some R19 valuable insulation and tack it to the walls and the inside?
Because it doesn't meet the current, what you guys got for the current whatever. It doesn't match. I mean, I'd have to find paint to match my house. That's currently what you guys
put it on the inside, nobody's going to see it.
No, the outside.
The inside, put it on the inside wall.
Right, but I'm talking about the outside.
Oh, you
got to
paint your coop.
Yeah, I have to paint my, granted, paint is a lot cheaper, but it's also, I mean, it's padded. I sent a picture, it's probably not, I don't.
Well, let me tell you something. I've been on a farm since I was 3 months old, and we had chickens. And I never had a chicken that froze to death. And back in the day, back in the early 1950s, late 1950s, the snow would blow right through the wall into the chicken coops. The eggs would freeze, but the chicken never lost the chicken because it died of being froze. The only place I got frozen chicken was at the grocery store. I never lost the chickens. And the chickens that did die were either sick, had come down with something, and you know that when they get sick.
Yeah.
It wasn't because it was too cold. I mean, chickens don't have no feeling in their feet.
Yeah, and I mean.
So they could stand on a frozen water pipe, just like all the other birds in the wintertime. These little chickadees and that fly around.
Well,
as long as you give them food and they've got warm water, that bird is good to go.
I hope.
Call the extension officer. And call him the agriculture extension
officer. I don't think I'll be able to use my, well, which brings up the other piece of the ordinance, whether or not I can have what's known as free-range chickens, or if they have to have a run and only be allowed in the run. That was the other piece. If I can, I won't, my current coop does not have a run, I just let them in my backyard. So, hence the other piece. If I could somehow make my coop work and paint it where it's not an eyesore and put some insulation, maybe that would be great. But it doesn't have a run, so.
I know there was one ordinance that Jeremy came across that had a provision for open area, or what it was called.
Exercise yard.
Yeah. It's up there on the screen, guys, if you want to turn it on. But that could be something that we could consider having, like an exercise yard, and then we would just put parameters around the minimum size and the variances from where it could be from the property line, similar to what we're doing with the coop itself. Any other thoughts, Council, or what direction we want to go? Are there any changes that we want to make? Or what are the thoughts on the ordinance?
I mean, I guess I'm personally, I'll speak to myself here, using the backyard, utilizing a fenced-in backyard, to me it seems a bit much, in my opinion, to put a fence within a fence if there's not a problem. You know, using that as a run. I mean, the consequences, you're going to lose a chicken.
What's that?
You know, the consequence of the yard doesn't work, you're going to lose a chicken.
Right.
You know, if they would get out of your yard, you're out of chicken.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I would think it'd be in their best interest to keep the chickens. So, I guess, me personally, I mean, I understand if you can't or if it's too loose, but I'm okay with those chickens being in the backyard.
But she's got her backyard fence, and she talked about tripping their wings and stuff.
Yeah. The fence is already well within the property lines, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, to have her put a fence inside that fence.
A chicken can jump, but you know how high they can jump. So
if
you got your fence higher than they can jump, here.
So far, and if they hopped it, I'd probably reconsider and probably be thinking of something else, because I wouldn't want to be dealing with that. That's the truth, but. I've looked into the net, it's like apparently there's a thing where you can net their wings, or you just put like a little net over them so they can't fly. I'd be figuring it out if I ever saw one jump, that's for sure. But as far as if I lost the chicken or not, my dog ran away. You know, it's kind of that same thing, that's my choice.
Yes, that's my take, I guess, take one for what it's.
I have a problem with open yard either here.
We just worded it in such a way that they have to be contained. You know, I don't know how we word that exactly, but.
Well, like up there, they have an exercise yard specifications, must be fenced and must provide a minimum of 174 square feet per chicken. Seems kind of excessive.
So it could be worded as a run or an exercise yard, because most people don't have an exercise yard. That's going to be a rarity.
Right, and that's kind of the notes I made, to allow an exercise yard or a run.
That's not best case scenario, but I feel like it's a compromise of sorts.
Now, with our yards and that being as small as they are in town and stuff, can we change that number of 174 square feet?
Well, we can put it wherever we want. We don't even have to put a square footage if we don't want to.
Because our yards in this town are a lot different than, I shouldn't really say that, because you look at the new developments that are going up.
High density housing.
Yeah, we could make it the same number that you'd have to do the run with. You know, whether it's an exercise yard or a run, we already have the dimensions for what the run has to be.
Yeah. Set a minimum and a max.
Just going to say apply those minimums.
Yeah, sure. Minimum and a max.
I guess I'm good with that. Adding that. Or amending it to add the exercise area.
Okay. Any other thoughts from council?
I'll have to agree with our attorney. I think that in the garage is not probably a good idea. I have no problem with putting the coop outside and or having our chickens.
Do you need to rewrite anything if you want to move forward? Or?
Yeah, we're going to have to get some wording for exercise yard and the minimum and maximum. So we want to define that too.
Any other input from council? Otherwise, we'll have to wait until next meeting to make an official, unless we go with what we have. But if we want to make the change to the exercise yard, then we'll have to do it at another meeting so we can make sure we have the right dimensions.
Yeah, let's get it right.
So if you want to go ahead and
yep.
Figure that one out, and we can talk about it as well. All right. So then we'll move on then to the land use application, the variance for request for the garage. We heard what their plan was. Any questions in regards to it? Do we have a number for that?
No.
If there's no other questions and we want to grant it, I'll look for a motion to grant the variance for the 601 Robert Avenue property.
I move to approve the 10-foot variance for 601 Robert Avenue.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve land use variance for 601 Robert Avenue at 10 feet. Any further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Passes. Let them know.
Yep.
George Street Project. I'm assuming this is you, Lois. George Street Project.
I brought a bill in the other day, and I'm just wondering if the city is going to pay
that. So in your packet, there'll be a breakdown of that billing. So basically, Avery broke it down by development project expenses and then storm sewer. So what we kind of haven't defined is, we had said we'd be responsible for the storm sewer and the pond, those expenses. So the question brought forth to me from Lois was the fact that, is the city going to pay any portion of the surveying and staking for that development? Well, it's $13.5 total, but the storm sewer portion of it is about $3,200 roughly in that area.
So The conversation that we agreed to as far as what the city would be on the hook for had to do with the stormwater, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then the top portion of the self-development project expenses, does any of that fall under what the city had agreed with Lois to pay?
No.
How are we going to know for sure which is what?
I'm sorry, what was that question you lost?
I said, how are we going to know on that bill which is what? Because it isn't all mine. But how do we know?
So I think, you know, if you look at the invoice, he's kind of got that. He did break down what all was involved in the storm sewer. And then the development project expenses were final plat drawings, elevation location, sanitary, sewer and water main, property corners, state curb and gutter, restate curb and gutter after contractor destroyed stakes. So I guess that's maybe something you can...
So based on what you're telling us, Jeremy, is anything under the five bullet points under storm sewer, that's something that we had agreed to prior, right? That would be part of our portion of the overall project.
Well, we didn't really define that as far as the surveying or any of that. Basically, the construction cost is what we had agreed to.
But that's all part of the construction cost. Your staking is, that's part of it.
So, like I said, that would be, you know, earlier, that would be the proportion I'd say that the city would be on the hook for.
Right. I would say everything under the stormwater that pertains to the pond and catch basins, and that is our responsibility.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the construction of our what we told Lois we would pay for. So as far as I'm concerned, without that, we couldn't do anything.
Yeah, right. Prerequisite
to us. So we have to have that. Yep. So I would say that is our portion that we need to pay for.
So you're talking about the five bullet points.
Under storm sewer.
Stake on location, stake all of the storm sewer catch bases, stake the 6-inch overflow, prepare legal description driving the pond, the annex, prepare legal description and overflow of the pond, like that. Okay.
So that comes.
I would say that is our responsibility.
So that comes to a total of $31.50.
What about the last two items? I can't see here.
So the preparation for
that's for your lot splits for your permit, Lois.
Mm-hmm.
The 760 and the Mylar copies made once final plat is approved. So
you know what?
That's
tell him what lot permits. Person. I've been mentioning that to several people
that we can. That's
calling. But
$13,767.38.
But I guarantee it, Lois, I truly do believe if you went to Norwood, they'd be more. Because they would tack on park tedigation fee, whack and sack fees. I paid 15 years ago, I paid $10,000. When I built my house, $10,000.
So I can't see it.
Everything under storm sewer, Lois.
First way to the bottom.
Below the storm sewer. See where it says storm sewer?
Yeah.
Then 5 points below that. That is
our responsibility.
And what about the last two?
That would be your responsibility, because that's for your lot splits, for your permits, and your final plat.
What about the sanitary sewer? Is that, isn't just for my property?
That would be part of your sanitary curb staking in the gutter, because you're taking care of that. Everything we agreed to do, that the survey has done on, we should pay for it. And that all comes underneath the storm sewer, which comes up to about $3,100 off of that $1,353. For a bunch of cheapos.
Okay, $13,000 there.
You've got to go up and have a discussion with Avery.
I think I do.
Yes, dear, you have to go up and have a discussion with Avery. He's charging too much.
Yes.
And Lois, I'd even maybe, you know, contractor maybe picking up that 720 restake. Well, it says restrake, but typo there.
That was Jewel.
Restake curb and gutter after contractor destroyed stakes? Why should you have to when that wasn't your fault?
The contractor should pay that.
So that.
I would shove that off on Jewel.
Yeah.
I paid Jewel already. That was another huge. They're all nuts.
So I think what I'm hearing. So what I'm hearing from what staff is saying and what council's recollection is, those five bullet points under storm sewer, that's our ticket. The rest on that invoice.
And then I'll talk to him about it. I'll call.
Okay.
I might know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Water. Water tower update. Minnesota Department of Health letter.
So kind of one other thing, if you're aware, you can see they've started. They had to take out one more tree than we had initially planned. So they ended up taking six trees out just because of the position of the tower instead of the five that was on the plan. So they got that cleared out, and then they poured the foundation for the tower. So we're on our way. One of the things, we talked in the office, and Tamara brought, you know, should we document that? And I said, I think it'd be a good idea. So Tamara's been taking daily pictures, and she's going to put something together. So that way we can document. I mean, it's kind of a, dare I say, historical event.
Yeah. Don't call it a big deal.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. We'll go with it. Which then will lead into my other thing. So one of the things I want to pursue is just in relation to that letter, you know, that we got from Department of Health. And kind of the way I read that and understand, you know, based on that, the determination, MDH has determined that demolition of the historic, which we question, water tower is not a good use of federal dollars and therefore is not eligible to receive funding. So kind of one of the things I want to do is and get council backing is work with our engineers. I think we're still under the same assumption of taking that tower down. You know, worst case scenario, the way I read this, well then can we, you know, one of two things is one, work with them to get that taken off the list. If not, two, if we come up with the funding, can we take that down? Because the way I read this is just kind of because of their determination. So kind of go back a little bit, so we won't be able, the way I understand it, we won't be able to later add this on and get federal funds. So with our current funding, we're not going to get funding unless we can find some agreements or middle ground that it's not historic and going to be placed on historical preservation list. But I would like to pursue it with our engineers to see, you know, what we can do. So kind of one of the two things is, one of, if we can just get it not classified as historic for one, and two, if it, we can't get around the historic, you know, preservation, you know, is there a way we can move forward where we can still at least document and demo that tower.
That's a great idea.
Because I just, I don't see the city trying to fit the bill for, you know, upkeep of that tower.
Well, and plus we have people that are told us they won't work on the tower.
Yeah,
so it's,
right.
Like, it's too far down.
Who's going to upkeep it? Yeah, I'd say pursue that and then get back to us and then we can make a decision.
Well, if worse would come to worse, could we go around and sign it, get a petition going from the people in town here to sign it? And present it to them and say, who wants the main thing?
I think all options are on the table at this point.
They always say that squeaky wheel gets grease. So
I think we
maybe that's another option we could start if it falls back that far.
Well, that and we could share with the citizens the contact information of the person who made the decision.
Yep.
Yeah. And have phone calls and letter writing
from the campus. And the other thing on the water tower, good job, Tim. I read that the other day about keep up on that.
Yeah.
You're the man, good job.
Yeah, so I did forward that to our engineers and they got back, so.
Yeah, CWA.
That opened their eyes anyway.
Yeah, just the
keeps them honest.
Just the threat of it will improve the workmanship.
Yep.
Stay on top of that.
Yep.
Okay, we'll then move on to seal coating of Sophia Central and Jacob.
Just a report, that's all done already, that's completed, so we are good for seal coating this year. Kind of some of the things we've already looked at for next year was maybe not looking at the streets, but the parking lots in the park. I know the east parking lot is going to need some attention. And then also the in between the food stand and the Lions shelter building there, that needs some attention. So,
any questions, Council? Okay, we'll move on to National Night Out.
Yeah, so everybody was there. Thanks for helping out and everybody coming out. I think numbers were down a little bit this year. But just want to report it really didn't receive any feedback. So, I think we'll just continue going forward until we receive any public feedback on how things are going. You know, also thanks to Lions for doing the giveaways. I think that's kind of a nice gesture that we've added to it and the bikes and you know, and everybody that helps out. So we'll keep doing it.
Move on then, unless anybody else has anything else they want to add for National Night Out. Move on then to the new city business.
We should thank Lois for getting the hot dogs and Ms. Trevish for the cookies too. So
that's what I forgot on my Facebook.
So
God, I really forgot somebody.
That way we don't leave people out.
Yeah. I did put a thank you on Facebook. I thought I grabbed everybody, but now I'll just say that.
And the face painters too.
I had them on there.
Okay.
I didn't have the cookies. I don't know how I could forget that. all right, new business then. 2020 proposed budget.
Yeah, so hard to believe. Here we are, middle August, and we're thinking budget again already. So I have started that process. So So just give you a fill in. So basically, just to start thinking of things for next year. Probably the first September meeting, I'll have a draft for council. We'll hold another special meeting. So it'll probably be three, four, you know, Tuesdays in a row, unfortunately, you know, where we'll have some budget workshops in there, as we see fit, but we'll be starting that process at the next meeting and then probably the next Tuesday, and then we'll hold a second meeting in September for that to finalize the proposed budget.
Yeah.
So just, I like to throw it out there now, so to start thinking of things for next year. And then also at the next meeting, we'll look at the things for this year, you know, that we're finishing up. And I'll kind of try to look at some numbers where we may have possibly come under bid on a few things or not. So kind of the main big things that I've just started getting in here is the 2020 prosecution contract, which is included in here, which really, you know, isn't a big impact in the city of Hamburg. So if you look at, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, is it the sixth page of that proposal, you can see basically $59 is what, you know, an increase we're going to incur there. So I'll build that into the budget. Also, there's a draft policing in there, so for council to review. What they want to do now is kind of 2 years out. So they're proposing 2 years, which I kind of like. And then, what else did I have? And then the service agreement for joint assessment for 2020. And then I kind of went over the budget dates. So basically the biggest thing for tonight, you know, and we've done this for numerous years, and the only other option we'd have for any of these services would be to do them ourselves, and it would be, you know, we'd pay a lot more. So it's always worked better to work with the county. So kind of what I'm looking for tonight for actual approval, that we would need approval, would be this service agreement for joint assessment. And that's basically where the county comes in and they do, you know, the assessments for all the properties in town.
Any questions on that?
Which you've probably seen over the past probably couple years. Mm-hmm. You've seen some huge jumps.
Yeah. We didn't
put that. Stopped by Johnny's and have a beer.
Any questions? Otherwise, I look for a motion to approve the 2020 service agreement for joint assessments, Carver County.
I move to approve the 2020 service agreement for joint assessment in Carver County.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve the 2020 service agreement for joint assessments with Carver County. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
So that's all I have on the budget. Just start thinking of things for 2020 already.
Any questions on the budget process?
Hopefully, I think all our roofs will be done. So at least that's one thing none of us should have to worry about again.
Yeah.
Well, that side of the fire hall.
All right. If there's nothing else, then we'll move on to council reports. Councilman Buckentine. Councilman Tracy.
Did anybody go down and look at that bench at the park?
Yes, Greg did look at it. He's going to mend it. Yep.
Okay.
So he said the concrete's good, but the boards need some replacing, so he's going to take care of it.
Okay. Yep. And then I saw, once this guy's down there mowing today, and some of those trees by then, by that ball field by the park, or just...
Yeah.
Does somebody in the city trim it up?
Me and Greg have talked about that. Yeah, and the fact too, I think what we've had is a lot of kids are hanging on their branches because you can see a lot of them.
Yeah.
So Greg's going to take care of that aspect of it. And then we've talked about getting Bob Shannon and Odier to take that other tree out in the park.
That's all I got.
Okay, Councilman Feltman.
I've been approached by a couple of people in town when they walk. Going east out of town, across from the car wash, what's his name?
Chadwick's.
Chadwick. When I have a talk with the CSO officer or officer, he's parked over the fog line.
As far as last I heard, the cops have talked to him. So we talked about that today, and we'll be sending a letter out and having the CSL coming out and chalk the tires, because I believe an officer has stopped and talked to him about that last Friday.
That RV has sat in there for at least a week with that trailer behind, and the tires are over fog line, and people would have been walking, and there's young ladies pushing their kids in the stroller. They got them out into traffic, and it's right in that curve.
And we've had numerous complaints from some residents too. So
there was a couple of people brought it up, and I said I'll bring it up at the council meeting, and that Jeremy talked to either the CSO office.
Yep.
Yep, I'll move them forward.
Yep, we will. We'll address it.
Councilman Popler. I don't really have anything other than the fact that I wish I would have forgot about the cookies on my thank you to on Facebook. Apologize for that. But no, I thank everybody that came out and for National Night. I think we had a good turnout, not our best turnout, but definitely a good turnout. Weather was better on Tuesday than it was Monday, and especially compared to the last year Tuesday. That's all I have. So we will then we'll move to the stormwater easement and title pending litigation. At this point in time, we will now close the meeting and move into a closed session to discuss the pending litigation initiated by Triple T Services LLC, Steve B. Trebish, and Jake B. Trebish with our city attorney. The city council needs to engage with the city attorney in a discussion to determine the litigation strategy in reference to the foregoing matter. It would be detrimental to the city for the city council considerations and strategies to be discussed in a public forum because such discussion would make available to the plaintiffs. The topics discussed in this closed session on August 13, 2019 will be limited to the above described litigation. The factors set forth above outweigh the benefit of the public meeting and is reasonable and appropriate to the city council to meet in a closed session with the city attorney to discuss the matters outlined here within. The closed session is subject to the attorney-client privilege and will not be taped. The closed session is permissible pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.05 Subdivision 3B. So at this time, I look for a motion to close the public meeting to discuss parcel 11.0282010.
I move to close the public meeting to discuss parcel 11.0282010.
And pending litigation.
And pending litigation.
It's moved and seconded to close the city council meeting on August 13, 2016 at 8:09 to discuss the pending litigation with parcel 11.0282010. All in favor?
Aye.
Close? We are closed.
Okay.
I will go ahead and reopen the Hamburg City Council August 13, 2019 meeting at 8:29 p.m. pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.05 Subdivision 3B. We have previously closed the meeting to discuss the pending litigation with our city attorney. We have done so and we'll be moving on from that point forward. Anything else from council? Otherwise, I look for a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to adjourn the meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.